Thanks, Craig. It's waking back up. Cool. We're trying something slightly different today because I have my new Chromebook and it's a lot smaller and easier to carry around. So hopefully it will work. That means that I'm not using Microsoft PowerPoint. I'm using the Google Drive version of PowerPoint. So we will see how that works. We also see if I will not cough very loudly into the microphone multiple times throughout my talk this morning because I had this weird upper respiratory thing that started happening this week where I didn't get a head cold. I just got all the chest congestion. So I'm living on Mucinex, ladies and gentlemen, and it works, but it makes you hack. So bear with me. sorry. So I don't know if you guys realize it, but there's more than one holiday happening this week. There's more than just the hearts and cupids and red and pink and all that going on Thursday. You guys are like, what? Valentine's Day is this week? I don't count Mardi Gras because Mardi Gras is connected to Ash Wednesday. So the first holiday that comes this week is actually on Wednesday. It's Ash Wednesday. It's the day to begin Lent. And it's kind of interesting that Valentine's Day is the day after that, especially since most of the time of Valentine's Day, people are indulging in chocolates and champagne and lovely dinners with their loved ones or being frustrated that they don't have a loved one and maybe having lots and lots of ice cream on their own or with other friends. So there's kind of a contrast happening this week. Just in our cultural understanding of Valentine's Day, we've kind of, I think, missed the mark in a lot of ways about just the beauty of what it means to truly love someone. And so I think I want to encourage you guys this week to be able to redeem Valentine's Day, to not make it just about this romantic understanding of love, but embrace Jesus's understanding of agape love. And so that fullness of love that you have that's self-sacrificial. And if you're embracing the self-sacrificial love on Valentine's Day, it's going to fit right in with the rest of Lent. So I think those days are very much connected if we understand them in God's conception of love. So hopefully this talk this morning will encourage you in that direction because I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about Lent. And for those of you who don't come from traditions where you celebrate Lent, this may be educational for you. For those of you that celebrated Lent like every year when you were a kid and on through adulthood, this might be old hat to you, but maybe, just maybe, I might bring you something a little bit different to the table. So I'm going to ask a couple of big questions, and I would love participation today so much. So be willing to just throw thoughts out there. There's no right or wrong answers to these questions. It's more just your perception of what you're hearing. So how many of you want the best from life? I mean, I think if you don't raise your hand, you're probably like, I'm not listening right now. Do you want to be able to see and to taste and experience ultimate peace and rightness with the world? I think we all kind of have that yearning inside of us to not necessarily just take for ourselves, but to be really peaceful and really present and really just in that place where you're like, this is it. This is the thing. Have any of you guys ever had moments where you felt like that, where you really were like, this is the thing? Because I would love to hear your stories. This is the part where the audience participation happens. Jacob, I could see you nodding, so I'm calling on you.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, just like where you felt like, all is right with the world.
All right, so I've got this place in Michigan. I like to snowboard.
Yeah.
And if anybody here knows me, I'm a really big snowboard and having outdoors guy. I love just running and being crazy and stupid, especially out in the woods. That's kind of one of my favorites. But there's this place up in Michigan where I board, and I try to go to. I've been there for the past 5 years. side of this mountain, and you can see over Lake Michigan. And this year was a little different. I went there 2 weeks ago, and there was this dense fog covering the entire mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And it covered the mountain until about 11 o'clock in the morning. But about 11:30, it started separating, and I was like, I need to go to my spot. I need to get up there and see it. And it started clearing, and I could see Lake Michigan and Bay Harbor in its entirety. And it's like one of those things where you take a picture with your phone and you try to remember it, but it doesn't capture it.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to capture that fullness and that peace and serenity that's within you. And then the fog clears, and you just stand there, and you're like, I am so small compared to the vastness of the beauty that is in this world. And normally that's scary, but at that moment, it just feels right.
Yeah.
And there's something within you. There's this peace and this calmness that you just know that you are part of something that is so much bigger and so much more divine, so beyond yourself. And it is just spread. That's how I find it. That's how
cool.
I know that this is with me.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. Anybody else?
How about you, Jen?
I will share my story in a little bit. I want to hear some other people first, because I'm going to be talking for a long time. Not that long, don't worry. So where do you feel the most rightness about the world? What are you doing? What are the things that you do? Yeah, Izzy. Okay, cool. Yeah. So what is it about worship that makes you feel that all is right with the world? Cool. We'll have other people that could attend to those seizing. Right. Cool. I want to hear two more stories.
Mm-hmm. Or something, and, like, you realize, like, when you feel that calmness, and you're like, oh, it feels so nice to help somebody else, and, like, that's where I find God, when you help somebody that needs it, then it makes you feel better about yourself, and God likes it. Or
that's cool.
Someone else help you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's the best. That's, like, better than, like, seeing Chewbacca.
Have you seen that commercial where it's kind of like the pay it forward thing, where there's a person that's watching somebody else serve someone, and then they then serve someone, and it's just sort of this rotating cycle?
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
And that's, I feel like that's God. That's the best.
Cool. One more story. I mean, I won't cut you guys off, Shirley.
And just sit there and you sit near a window and I can just watch birds or whatever outside the daytime I'm praying and just that calm and peace, you know, by myself. And it's just very much just a time set apart from the Lord. And I think no matter how big problems are, then it just seems like, you know, it all comes back in perspective.
That's awesome. Thanks. I think I kind of see themes in a lot of these stories. It's just, a focused awareness is the way I want to describe it, on releasing yourself from all this other stuff that happens around you. I mean, we're in the middle of really busy lives most of the time. And it's hard for us to kind of winnow away all of the noise of life and be able to focus. And so when Jacob's snowboarding in the mountains, and when you're serving somebody or watching someone else serve, or when Izzy's worshiping and Cheryl Lee's reading scripture and praying, and just in the quietness and our aloneness sometimes with God, or in community with other people, being focused on a task is when I think we find the greatest fullness of life. For myself, it Jacob, I'm going to tell a story now. Well, I was sitting down thinking about this week, and I'm like, okay, so where do I find fullness of life? Where do I feel like God moving in my heart? And I'm like right in line and in tune with God. And it's in a lot of different places. I think for me, it's some of that. I've had some pretty awesome retreat moments, like when you kind of have that time by yourself and you're out in the woods. And I'm not really like a camp in the woods person like Patrick, but I like to be in the woods and then go to a hotel. and I want to sleep on the ground, ladies and gentlemen. But just to be like at a lake and there's just a nice breeze blowing. Like I have some very strong just sensory experiences of this one particular lake in New Hampshire where when I was a college minister in Boston, we would go for a retreat like every spring. And spring was kind of a loose term because it's March and there's like snow on the ground. So it's spring. But, you know, you still have that freshness in the air and there's maybe a few trees that are starting to bud a little bit. And you can, there's this one particular place next to the lake that there was this lean-to I would go to and just sit and just breathe and read the scripture and pray. And so it's kind of like a combining of Shirley's experience and Jacob's experience. And so it's just restfulness and silence and stillness that I've experienced God powerfully that way. In other ways, I've experienced God really powerfully when I've been serving. So just like you were talking about, I went for 2 summers in a row to teach English in Poland with my church when I lived in Florida, and that was awesome. And so I'm like, I recollect these particular experiences where I'm in the classroom teaching these students English, and I'm just like, oh, this is exactly what I was supposed to do. And I kind of thought, oh, maybe that's what I'm supposed to do forever. And then God's like, no, it's really what you were just supposed to do for those 2 weeks at a time. But just to be in that place where you're serving and you're knowing that's exactly what you're supposed to be doing for that day. And those things can be really amazing, and they don't have to just happen on mission trips or on retreats. They can happen on an everyday basis. And I think, after I get my computer back working, it's what Jesus was talking about in John 10 when there's a verse where he says that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And in the Message version, it says, a thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. And what's really interesting about that verse is it comes out of, you know, Jesus is having this conversation with the Pharisees after they're like hunting him down for healing some guy on the Sabbath. And he's talking about having life to the full. And he's talking about him being a shepherd and guarding the sheep and being the gatekeeper, keeping that thief out away from the sheep and keeping them safe. But he wants them to have a full life and not just to be stuck in this pen, because the shepherd only has the sheep in the pen at night. He lets the sheep go out and wander and eat and enjoy during the daytime, but he is always watching over them. And so, you know, what's really amazing to me about that verse is that, you know, Jesus isn't reining us in or keeping us in a box or telling us, you know, what we should and shouldn't do all the time. There's a lot of freedom that's been extended to us. And I talked about freedom the last time I talked. But there's a hemming in, a safety in following Jesus in his ways that's the best for us. It's not a do and a don't. It's the best. And just that shepherding love that he has for us. So when you hear when Jesus is calling us to life to the full, when the Message translates it as they have real and eternal life, more and better life than they dreamed of, what does that mean to you? What is that more and better life? I mean, it can be like how you feel in that moment. It can be what you do. Just tell me what you're thinking about that. Cool. He's worthy. Worthy of worship. That's what I'm getting from what you said, Angie. Oh, wow. Thanks. Yeah. It's just an awareness a lot of times of just recognizing the beauty in the mundane and God's presence in the everyday. Finding those everyday miracles and just the beauty in each moment, even in our difficulties, there's always something beautiful. Yeah. Thanks, Julie.
I think that, like, where it says that Jesus comes to steal and kill and destroy, that's talking about, like, well, obviously it's talking about sinners. So he has come to take our sins so that we can have less to the whole. Mm-hmm. So we can experience, like, because the more burden with something, it's really hard to look at, like somebody helping somebody.
Right.
But, like, when you know that, like, God's got your back, like, he's taking you, and you kind of, like, you feel, like, you're like, you know what, like, I don't have control over that, so you kind of, like, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you notice a lot more things. You want to be by yourself praying, like, you want to go out and have he gives you that opportunity to have it to the full.
Right.
And without him, we'd only be thinking about ourselves and how.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he gives us that option to, like, if you're still going to burden yourself with it, that's all I'm going to do.
Right. So it turns us from having kind of an inward focus on our own sin or our own challenges and difficulties and turning it into this outward focus on seeing and being aware of the beauty and the amazingness of life. And
it's kind of like he's kind of making us selfish in a way with what he's saying there, because of, instead of focusing out on, like, other people, he wants you to live your life to the fullest. If that involves you helping other people, that's awesome. But if it involves you, like, hiking, I'm like, go do it. Like, he's just saying that live your life how you want to live it, but live it in a Christian way. Like, that's how I see it.
I think, too, like, we recognize more and more that when we get out of our own way and get out of our own kind of selfish perspectives, that life to the full is a lot easier to find. And even in those experiences where it's us alone with God or us alone communing in his creation, I think there's still a recognition of, like Jacob said, how small we are in comparison to the vastness of God and his work and his creation in our lives. And so it really becomes something that was an inward seeking for peace and restoration on some level, and to becomes like this outward blooming of, whoa, look at this God that we worship has done, and how does that affect how I respond to each and every person in my life? Do I then see them as a beautiful creation, even if they're driving me totally crazy today because they're blasting their iPod instead of having headphones on? I mean, like, there's little annoyances that happen to us each and every day, but if we recognize that the creation is all God's and it's all beautiful, our response to that annoyance is going to change. I just think that, you know, even if we're a follower of Jesus and we're walking with him on a regular basis, we still tend to drift away a little bit here and there. And the visual that really resonates for me in that is, like, if you go to the beach and you're swimming and you swim out to a certain point and then you kind of stop and you look back at the shore, you are never right directly from the place where you came off. You have drifted one way or another depending on how strong the current is and how strong of a swimmer you are. And I think what's beautiful about the season of Lent is it's a time for us to acknowledge how we've drifted. And I'm not saying that you have just gone completely in the other direction and you're not a Jesus follower anymore. There may be some of you in here that have, that is your experience right now. But for most of us, your experience is we've lost focus. You're like Peter out walking on the water and you looked away from Jesus for a minute and you started sinking. That's where we are. And so Lent is an amazing time for us to be able to pause, to look back where we are off the shore, and to reorient ourselves back to where we belong, where we need to be. And there's a lot of ways that we can do that through Lent. And one of the most consistent way that's been used throughout the history of the church is through fasting. What's kind of neat about Lent is that the 40 days idea of fasting and of just preparing ourselves for the coming of Easter and that celebration started in the 300s AD. So really early on in the history of the church, this practice was kept. And it wasn't that, you know, Jesus said, thou shalt fast. Thou shalt fast for 40 days before you celebrate my resurrection. No, Jesus didn't say that. But he did make it clear that fasting was something that we should be doing. He modeled it for us when he was in the desert for 40 days before he started his ministry. And he was fasting, and then Satan came to tempt him, but he was prepared to deal with that temptation because of the fasting experience that he had prior to that. Also in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about when you fast. So he's taking it for granted that fasting is going to be a part of our lives as believers. It was a very strong part of Judaism at the time, and that's a tradition that continues for us here today as Christians in 2013. When I was looking up some resources about Lent for you guys, I ran across this book that I had sitting on my shelf that I never read before. I'm just like looking through my books, and there's this book in there called The Liturgical Year. And it's about all the seasons of the church calendar, the consistent seasons that have happened from the beginning of the Catholic Church through the Episcopal Church and continue on till today in churches that follow the calendar more strictly. And there is about 5 chapters about Lent in that book. I mean, there are more chapters about Lent in that book than any other season. And the woman who's the author is actually a Benedictine nun, and she had some really amazing things to say, and I think we're going to camp out on those for a little bit today about Lent. Sorry if it's a little hard for you guys to read, but I'll read for you. Lent is about opening our hearts one more time to the Word of God in hope that, this time, hearing it anew, we might allow ourselves to become new as a result of it. It is a call to prayer, to liturgy, to the co-creation of the world. It is about rising to the full stature of human reflection, and as a result, accepting the challenge to become fully alive, fully human, rather than simply, grossly, abysmally, self-centeredly human. And I made the accepting the challenge to become fully alive just yellow for you guys to be able to highlight the fact that it's about becoming alive. And for some people, Lent is all about restriction or taking away things that you enjoy, sort of an aesthetic understanding of penance in a way. But really what she's saying, it's not that. It's about an opportunity for us to let go of our self-centeredness and to embrace something new that's allowing us to become alive. I think the co-creation of the world piece is a little bit like, oh, okay, what does that mean? And I think what she's talking about is being able to intervene in other people's lives in a way that's really beautiful and to help and to serve. And that's helping to become a co-creator of the world when we're working alongside other people for kingdom purposes. It's a beautiful thing. So the second quote, the voice of Lent is not a dour one. So it's not sad or depressing. It's a call to remember who we are and where we have come from and why. So like I said, it's like when we're swimming out from shore, it's a time for us to stop and to look back where we've come from. The voice of Lent is the cry to become new again, to live on newly, no matter what our life has been like until now, and to live fully. It is even more than that. It is the promise of mercy, the guarantee of new life. Lent is our salvation from the depths of nothingness. It is our guide to the more of life. So by letting go of things that we participate in on a daily basis or things that we enjoy for the season of Lent, maybe an opportunity for us to get rid of superfluous things in our life, to get rid of things that bring us nothingness. They don't bring us joy. They're just things. But to embrace something bigger and more fully life in this time. I think one of the ways that fasting works in my life and in our lives as a whole is that it brings to the surface things that we struggle with. Because a lot of times, you know, we might use food or entertainment or other things to comfort ourselves, to placate ourselves, to make things better. And we ignore some of those underlying feelings or sins that are dormant that we keep pushing away by entertainment, by food, by spending too much time with people rather than spending some time assessing our own lives. So the season of Lent is a time for us to start taking off of those layers that hide the deeper things that we're struggling with and begin to bring those difficulties to light and allow God to heal us. Fasting is beautiful in that way, but it's difficult, and it's difficult for a reason. We're not just supposed to be like, yay, we're fasting, and it's like the easiest thing in the world, because if it's the easiest thing in the world, then maybe we're not really fasting from the right things. So in a lot of ways, I think it's really about embracing discipline, and discipline's kind of a bad word in America. We don't like that. We don't like to be told what to do. We don't like people saying that we're doing something wrong. But discipline in this sense of the spiritual disciplines is the preparation and training of ourselves for the work of Christ. When we embrace things like prayer and fasting and reading of the scripture, service, thanksgiving, working in community with one another, those things all form and shape us to be the kind of people that God desires. And so during the season of Lent, it doesn't just have to be about fasting from something. It can be about embracing new practices as well. If you're not a person that reads the Bible on a regular basis, make that a part of your Lenten sacrifice, is that you're sacrificing your time, and giving that over to what God would speak to you through the scripture. If you're not a person that prays, pray more. If you're not a person that spends time volunteering in the community, use your time for that. One of the ways that, you know, I know a lot of people that will fast from Facebook or watching TV and things like that. I mean, that will give you more time. And so you need to find something good and productive and healthy and life-giving to do at that time. And one of the ways that you can use that time is for prayer and for service to others. And so just be creative in your thinking about Lent. It doesn't have to be I'm fasting from desserts, because that's a really popular thing to do. If that's something that you struggle with, that's probably a good thing to fast from. But if that's not your struggle, find something else. This is another quote from the author. Lent calls each of us to renew our ongoing commitment to the implications of the resurrection in our own lives here and now. But that demands both the healing of the soul, both penance and faith, both a purging of what is superfluous in our lives and the heightening, intensifying of what is meaningful. So it's taking out the things that are not helpful and embracing the things that are beautiful and life-giving. And so I think if we look at Lent that way, it's an amazing time to be preparing ourselves to celebrate Christ's resurrection. I mean, then if we're walking through these 40 days with this kind of attitude, we are going to be pumped when Easter comes, because it's like we have this freedom. We've walked through this season where God is working on us and we're embracing new things. And then we are celebrating the ultimate life. And that's that life in Jesus Christ that we found through him. And so Easter is the day when we embrace more fully who we are in Christ, because he has come to give us life and life to the full. So it's pretty amazing stuff. Over the last 4 years, I can't believe it's 4 years now, I've been participating in the fast from all liquids other than water during the 40 days of water. The money that I would have spent on drinks other than water from the tap are donated then to Blood Water Mission, and it's an organization that builds clean water wells in Africa. I think when I first started that campaign the first year, I was like, okay, this isn't really going to be that bad. I'll just drink water. It'll be all good. I drink a lot of water anyway. But one of the things that I realized is, for one, I'm caffeine dependent. So I've learned over the last couple of years that I start decreasing my caffeine intake, especially about the week before I start the fast. So there's caffeine dependency that I'm aware of. Other things that I've become aware of is just my desire to have variety, like feeling entitled to be able to have whatever I want because I can afford it. I can do this. So I can have my Diet Coke or some wine or like juice or whatever. I can have those whenever I want. But during Lent, I choose not to have that kind of variety. You know, like, I'm not a morning person, and so not having coffee in the morning is a big challenge. And one of the things I actually want to do this year that I haven't done before is to be able to get up and to exercise in the morning, because it can do the same kind of things as caffeine. It's kind of a lazy thing to just take the caffeine in and be like, oh, that's my wake-up time. This is great. But I can get up and exercise and be awake at the same time. I think that on some level, me wanting to have all the different kinds of drinks available to me whenever I want is really the indulgence and luxury in a lot of ways. Because what I'm donating my money to is to build water wells for people who don't even have clean water, let alone Diet Coke or beer or apple juice. Like, it's just kind of this reality check of, I just take for granted that I can walk into Kroger and buy whatever I want, and they have to walk for miles sometimes before they have wells to get dirty water to drink and to wash their clothes and to bathe in. It's a big reality check for my own, like, selfish ideal of what I should be able to have or what my rights should be, what I deserve. I think what's awesome about the 40 Days of Water for me is that it helps to me to remember that I'm a part of a bigger community than the people that I can just see around me. These are my brothers and sisters around the world that are struggling. And it takes me to give up my drinks for 40 days to remember them sometimes. And I think that's good, because then I get to participate in the joy of seeing. The 40 Days of Water website has some like videos of some of the wells that they've built and the rejoicing of the people there when they first get that water to come out of the pump. I mean, it's incredible to see people just be so excited about water when we take it for granted that we can like walk into the bathroom and just turn on the tap and it's going to be clean. We don't ever think about it unless there's a boil water order. So I think I will probably be doing the 40 Days of Water thing every Lent until forever. Even if they stop doing it as an organization, I think I'm going to still look to be able to give my money to something like that, and to help some people around the world. Let's see. Okay. So some of the things I'd already talked about is, you know, fasting obviously is the focus of discipline for Lent, and Jesus presumed that we were going to do this. It helps us to focus on spiritual things. It helps, like I said, to get rid of that noise in our life that keeps us from looking at spiritual things that we just get placated by on a regular basis. And like I said, it makes us aware of our dependencies. The lady who wrote the liturgical yearbook says, it exposes to seekers the distance between self-control and the compulsion to self-satisfaction. So it starts to reveal in yourself, like, really how much you do to just satisfy yourself rather than walk in self-control. And fasting is a discipline that develops self-control in us because, for one thing, we recognize that we can't really do it without the Holy Spirit. So we're putting ourselves under God's control in that way, and then it builds in us self-control, an ability to have self-control in other areas of our life as well. And in the Celebration of Discipline book, Foster says, anger, bitterness, jealousy, strife, fear, if they were within us, they will surface during fasting. And it's true. You will become very cranky no matter what you fast from, because you're so used to being able to have access to those things that when you choose not to, you're like, well, but I deserve to have them. And you're going to start this inner dialogue about what you want to have or can have or should have. And it helps to bring those things out from within us so that God can shine a light of healing in our hearts. And so we can begin to work on those types of behaviors. So here's some ideas for you guys. You can fast in a variety of different ways. It's been done very differently throughout the ages in the church during Lent. A widespread thing was a 1 day a week or even 2 days a week liquids only fast. So you're not taking in any food. You're just having liquids for 1 day every week during Lent. So you can choose that. You can restrict your fluids to water only, which is what I'm doing. You can give up access to something you enjoy. And I just threw Facebook and desserts up there. I'm sure there's a lot of other things that people can name that could be something that they would fast from. One other thing that's really cool during Lent and is kind of challenging, and I did some reading. There's some neat articles out there about things that people have given up for Lent or embraced for Lent. Some of it was, there was an article I read about a woman that let go of bitterness during Lent. So every time that she had a bitter thought, she would just let it go and practice working on that, because bitterness was something that she saw that was really challenging her in her life. So letting go of negative thoughts or ending a bad behavior. So if you definitely have a compulsive behavior that you see that happens in your life, this may be a good time to start working on it, knowing that there's millions of other Christians around the world that are walking through this season of fasting. And so this could be the beginning of new and fuller life for yourself through that. You can also begin a new practice. So embrace those fuller life things, like daily prayer and Bible reading, volunteering. One of the things I thought of was cooking for someone else, because a lot of people like to cook. There's a lot of people who don't like to cook, but there's a lot of people who like to cook. But to do that where you're not reaping the benefits of that, so you're just giving it away. It's just like, here, this is, I just made this for you. Enjoy it. I hope this is something that can serve you. And so just being able to spend that time and that love for someone is pretty sweet. So, you know, I talk about 40 Days of Water all the time. And that's the website, so you can go and look at it. World Vision is another awesome agency that does a lot of really incredible work around the world with dealing with poverty and social justice issues, in Jesus' name. And they have a new website that they've focused more on youth, but I think it's awesome for everybody. They have a campaign for Lent this year called Live Life, and it is an opportunity for you to walk through a six-week study where you're working on fasting 1 week, praying 1 week, giving another, then Thanksgiving, then serving, and then there's a week of reflection before Easter. It looks pretty neat, and I think I want to participate in it on top of doing the 40 Days of Water. I was looking for a really cool like video to go with it, but they didn't quite have exactly what I was looking for that. They, on their website, they have a thing called, it's an inventory, so where you can actually look at your life right now and see the things that you spend time with or are more interested in and develop some goals for yourself during Lent to be able to walk through and to be able to embrace Jesus' life to the full. So I think it's going to be an amazing 6 weeks. Starts Wednesday and that ends with Easter. So I just wanted to encourage you guys to be able to embrace a bigger life than the ones that you're living right now. Because even if it is an awesome life, it's still not probably quite where God would have you be. So just use this season of time that God has given you to reflect and to say no to yourself for a little while about something that you enjoy and love. And you might realize that it's more of a crutch than you think it is. And just to embrace your time with Jesus in that, and have him shape and mold and change you. So let's pray, everybody. Lord God, I thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be on this earth and to be creatures who are learning. God, that you don't leave us where we are, that you give us so many opportunities to change and to grow and to become more like you. God, I pray that we would embrace this Lenten season with sacrifice, recognizing and remembering the sacrifice that you gave for us on the cross, and celebrating the new and amazing full life that we get to live in your resurrection. So, Lord, let us embrace those two things in Lent, the sacrifice and the resurrection fullness. God, help us to find things that we need to lay down and ones that we need to pick up in order to have a life to the full. God, give us an eternal perspective. Prepare us for the difficulties, for those sins and irritations that will rise to the surface as we fast. But God, I pray that we would acknowledge those things, give them over to you, and allow you to work in our hearts. God, position us in a place where we are responding to you just with willingness. God, laying ourselves down before you and knowing that you are the Lord and the King of our lives. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for this time of learning today. And I pray that we would just be your loving servants. I pray for all these things in your name. Amen. Amen. I got done early today. Go figure. We had no music. So just, we have till 12:15 with the kids upstairs. So just spend this time kind of like hanging out with each other and talking and maybe sharing a little bit about what you might want to let go of this Lent season and what you might want to embrace.